This is CliffCentral.com.
Yo. Welcome to the Words, guys. My name is Malcolm Julie, and I'm hanging out with Rea Betsuisesele.
Yeah, and that's me.
We're about to go in, yo. So, on our show today, we've got a hot-ass topic, like we always do, right?
Hey, man. Conscious.
Conscious.
Conscious of everything that happens in the world and our surroundings.
Yeah. So, what we're about is trying to change the way people think. You know, trying to change the mindset, because the world is in a state of emergency.
It's always been in a state of emergency, right? But it's just... It's just intensified.
People have been ignoring it, but now we're asking y'all to
Wake up.
Yeah, wake up, y'all. Wake up. So we're talking about whether black people are lazy. I know we've all encountered this stereotype at one point or another. I know I have.
If not, you're still yet to. Don't worry, young black child.
It'll
you're still
going
to get asked, are you lazy?
Yeah. You won't even get asked. It'll maybe be presumed.
Yay.
But yeah, that's what we're talking about. Are black people lazy? And... you know, I'm quite torn about this topic because I think there are different factors that contribute to how much black people work in society and how black people are living inauthentic lives to a large extent, and maybe that might contribute to why they wouldn't want to do the supposed work that is given to them or that they're supposed to be doing. Apparently. Yeah. So ultimately what I'm saying is that, you know, black people are living unnatural lives, you know, like, you know, that saying, we didn't land on planet rock landed on us.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's exactly what might be contributing to that. But hey, this is just a show. We've got opinions. I'm sure you guys do too. Please do hit us up at @_worstguys on Twitter if you want to have a chat with us right now, or even whenever you listen to this podcast and you have an opinion on it. We are always keen to listen up to what you guys have to say. You can also hit us up at cliffcentral.com. But thank you very much for tuning in, because you're listening to the best podcast in the world. Alright, so how do you feel about my boy? Are black people lazy?
Hey, can I tell you, I'm honestly on the fence about this.
Okay.
Because there's always two sides to every story.
Yeah.
When you look at it in a personal sense, I know I'm not lazy. I'm a black person. I know I'm not lazy.
Yeah.
But there are certain things that I just won't do or give much effort.
But I'd say that's everybody.
Yeah.
You can't say you love doing every single thing aspect of your life. There's things that, you know, you don't want to do. You wake up, you're like, shit, do I really have to go to this today? So I think that's everybody, because Louis C.K. has a great gag about this. You know, he's like, you know, I'm a fat, lazy piece of shit. You know, I've given up whole careers because I didn't want to get up in the morning. You know, my alarm will ring and it's too early and I'll be like, oh shit, I just won't be that, I guess.
Snooze just looks so attractive.
Yeah.
But
I'm talking about at a deeper level, okay? Because here we go. Personally, for me, when I think about the institutions that I like to be involved in, work around, I tend to trust institutions where there are white people.
Where there are white people, or
where white people run the institution.
As in they are at the top of the top.
Yeah. I tend to legitimize it and say, okay, shit must be going down.
But you're not saying that black people at the top of the top, those companies or businesses aren't legitimate then.
I'm not saying they're not. I'm saying this is how I feel. And I don't know if you feel the same way.
And this is from your experience?
Yes.
Okay, so then obviously it's valid to you. In your personal aspect, nobody can rule you off of that. And I understand where you're coming from. I too, myself, and I'm sure other people have come across that situation. In fact, one of my clients, actually, I was speaking to him and he was telling me about a house that he's building in Northcliffe. First and foremost, I shook his hand and I said, you get that
hey,
land.
Hey, building a house in Northcliffe. Shout
you
out. Get the land, my boy.
You know, he told
get
me
that land. Get that
there
land.
There were two houses and a space in between that house. He bought the land and he bought the neighbor. And I was just like, you get that land, my boy.
Yeah.
But going on. So he was talking about how he actually got in contact with a 100% black-owned company to get all of the construction work done. And I was like, you know what? putting back into the, you know, our community, making the money circulate in our community. That's dope. That's fresh, you know. Only problem is the chap did us dirty. He didn't deliver, you know. Therefore, you know, putting us back into that stereotype of, yeah, no, African timing, blacks don't deliver, service delivery and all of that crap. His next door neighbor then said to him, no, man, like, how long did it... Because he was quoted, like, about 120 for certain something. The quote just kept on going up because the guy was delaying, needed more resources. Apparently, the planning wasn't even done right.
Mm.
But then the neighbor gave him a business card of another, you know, construction owner. And he was white. And that guy, ever since he's hopped onto the project, deadlines have been met a week before. Everything is done timeously. The whatever was quoted is what is being paid.
Yeah. You see, this is exactly what I'm talking about. You bring up a good point because now we want to give back to our community,
exactly.
Right? We want to go back, and it's a our responsibility as black people. But then we go back and, you know, people aren't up to par with the idea of what you might want, you know, or what you see as productive. And there's also this thing amongst black people in the black community where we're like, ah, you understand what it's like. You know what it's like to be black. And that almost is used as an excuse for bullshit that we do sometimes. So in this case, you see, the white institution, i.e. the contractor, is more legitimate than the black one. Even though,
in
his heart, I'm sure the guy who bought the house in Northcliffe, in his heart, he really wanted the black guy to do well. But Oksalayo, I've got to get a job. I've got to do my house properly. So I'm going to choose the person who's working best at it, working hardest at it. And this brings up the whole point about going back and giving back to your people. Because as black people, you know, we come from a negative disposition.
True.
And we almost have to go back home and rebuild the community, our people and our families who are still in the bad situations that apartheid, colonialism and the rest have put them in. So we're talking about, you know, if I get a job, black tax. We all know the idea of
having
black
to
tax,
give back.
Having to give back. And what is it about us that doesn't allow for us to grow as much as others grow or to work as hard? You know, I talk about the negative disposition in the sense that, you know, the black struggle is so, it's so real. It's a real experience, you know, being black and suffering and struggling. It weighs down mentally, psychologically. So we get to a point where, you know, you fight so hard just to get in the same room as white people who are doing the shit that you want to do, that by the time you get there, you know, you have to work extra hard to get half of what they have. You know, there's this saying, being a black person or a minority means working twice as hard to get half of what they get. You know, Serena Williams example, you know, all these people that are successful as black people and do work hard, they still have to work twice as hard, you know, to get half the recognition. And that, I think, is partly contributing to this idea of black laziness, because there's almost a retaliation from our side, because we're like, why is it so hard for me to get here in the first place? Why do I have to be in this position to start off with, where my white counterparts, you know, they just have to build on what they've already been building for 400 years. You know, our building is starting now. Because just an example, my parents came from the rural areas. They made it out. They were the ones who made it out. Our whole family is still back there. You know, I was just lucky enough that my dad made it out. But I go back to the rurals, and literally the generation before him, his brothers are still in
struggling,
in a struggling situation, you know. So this is the battle for the black person, you know, is carrying that extra weight kind of slows you down, you know. Maybe that's what the laziness is seen as, because you carrying this extra weight and now you still have to perform at the level where people who've never struggled to the extent that you have are performing.
I also, I'm going to draw it back to one of my points of it being the mentality. And the reason I say that is because you can't let your circumstances define you. I totally disagree on that. Trevor Noah comes from a less fortunate upbringing than a lot of the people in terms of comedians right now. But he did it big at the Dome. You know, Casper Nyoves comes from a less fortunate experience than a lot of the musicians out there right now.
Yeah.
But he's doing big things at the Dome. He's doing big things overseas. You get what I'm saying? So you can't just let that negative disposition determine your work ethic, determine how your life is going to turn around. For if that is the case, then you're just creating a cycle that is just going to continue for centuries and centuries in your family. Do you get what I'm saying? Because your dad made it out. My dad also made it out. But now, how many of the other siblings are like, okay, one has made it out, we can relax now, he's going to supply. Instead of also working your asses off so that if everybody makes it out, we can pull other families out. Do you get what I'm saying? And, you know, with the black tax as well, look at it this way, just to touch on that point. If my father, all right, brings home the bread, everything's good. You know, he's got to pay the bills and everything in the house, put food on the table, roof over our heads. That's dope, all right? Yeah. Now, any money left over that, all right, any money left over monthly expenses, which could be used to be put in investments, to benefit not only me, but, you know, generations after as well, you know, that generational wealth. It's being sent back so we can rectify what's been messed up in the past. Whereas his white counterpart, there's nothing in the past to rectify.
You just
except
building
your racist mentality.
Yeah.
You know.
So wavy.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, except
that
racist mentality.
Yeah.
But they just building on that wealth from before. So
they're just building, they're adding stories to their building.
Exactly. So where our rate of growth is like, you know, so minuscule that it might even be seen as, you know, there's no growth for black people anymore.
Yeah.
Except in the numbers, because we love GB. But that white person's wealth is growing exponentially. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even though they are the minority, which is so buck.
We've got a tweet that's just come in from Boca 2016. It says, are you not perpetuating the stereotype by even talking about it? Boca 2016, we are trying to break the stereotype by talking about it. Ignoring topics because they're touchy doesn't make them go away. If we talk about it, we can establish why the stereotype exists, firstly, and we can destroy it, as we are currently doing in this conversation.
See, what you want to do right now is you just want to put a plaster on it and say, yo, look, but after this, you just go do some young physio. No, dude, put me in that surgery room and fix me up properly.
Let's talk about it. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about why this stereotype even exists, because it shouldn't exist at all. And I think we're starting to get to the point where we're starting to realize that it's not true.
And it's not even about you, come to think about it. I mean, like, if we talk about it, we're talking about our own. We're trying to help our own get out of that mentality of being lazy. If they work and think for themselves, imagine how much more great we can be. We're already great.
Yeah. Because I do personally know of people who are lazy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not a race thing, but there is that stereotype.
It's a far greater degree in our
community. And, you know, above and beyond, you know, work ethic, I think as people, we do live inauthentic lives. Africans were not meant to live in the system that we currently live in. You know, we really weren't designed for that. We like earth. We like music. We like culture. We like dancing. We like war. You know, like with a spear and stuff. You know, not nukes. We aren't here to destroy the world. But I'm saying that's where our kind comes from. That's our ancestry. You know, so we lived that cultural Ubuntu life, and it changed dramatically to an industrial life where you have to work 5 days a week. You have to work 9 to 5. You have to produce.
You have to be a robot.
Yeah. And that's not who we are naturally, you know. So we kind of live two different lives, you know. And I think the life that we would be considered lazy in is the life that we're living inauthentically. Because you look at, I know black people aren't lazy. Dude, we work hard as fuck. Look at Sandton City, all those constructions, those buildings that are being built. Our niggas are working on that shit till early AMs in the morning. Black men know how to labor. And I mean like physical, hard labor. I've seen our people do that. You know, everybody who's worked in and around my environment in a physical capacity as a black man, you know, building a building, even gardening or whatever the case might be. These people work hard, you know. So it's also about what your definition of hard work is. And maybe it's a problem because our ideas are Eurocentric. You know, the idea of laziness is with regards to European ideals and Western ideals. If you
want to put, you know, because there is this saying that you can't, if you ask a fish to run a 100-meter race against a cheetah, and you see that the fish doesn't even, you know, place, and then you want to judge the fish for being slow. No. Don't judge the fish for being slow. Put that same cheetah in the water. Let's see who's going to win that 100-meter race right now.
Yeah.
So if you take that same guy, you know, his skill set, never mind that he can build big skyscrapers in center, never mind what else he can do, because he's been taught to do that, been forced to do that in a way just to provide.
Mm.
If you take his natural skill set and apply to something different in the world,
yes,
you'll see how effective he can be as a human being.
100%. 100%, you hit the nail on the head there, because we just maybe running the wrong race. Come to our side. And I think that's why building South Africa and building the arts is important, because that's where we flourish. And I mean, really flourish. Nobody can beat us at that.
And we've shown, like, since, I don't even know since how long, I'd say this century alone, since 2000, it's just been increasing, proving that we have so much talent in the arts locally.
Yeah, we do. And we need to tap that and grow within ourselves, as opposed to what we've known to be hard work. You know?
Three people that I'm going to even put four people in there that, like, are, I would say, internationally well known in terms of arts. Charlize Theron, Casper Nyovest, Trevor Noah, a.k.a. Who else are we going to put there? Cuesta de Cal also went overseas.
Nasty C.
Like, the list goes on. Some of these artists you don't even know. We can even put, who is this? The De Antwoord.
You
see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so this is where we actually flourish. This is who we are naturally.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we need to focus on being ourselves authentically, and the work will come out. Because if you're doing what you want to do the way you want to do it, you're going to do it to the best of your ability.
Because doing what you love,
yeah,
you'll never consider it to be work,
yeah,
and therefore you can't judge the work rate or work ethic. Therefore, I can never be seen as lazy.
100%, 100%, and just to end on that, because I mean, our only option as black people is to get new money.
Amen.
You see,
I've actually got a track that I'm working on about that, but
really?
It was inspired by you telling me this. But I completely agree.
Yeah, because, like we said, we don't have the institutional wealth that has been built for centuries, you know. So we get rich, and a lot of the times, you know, we'll throw that away, because as black people in general, we don't know what to do with money. We've never experienced it. The people before us, the generation before us, was probably poor, you know, and our parents before that, even more poor, poverty stricken. So we really don't know how to handle money to a large extent, because it's not part of our culture. Generally speaking, we don't have a lot of rich black people. So, and I think there's also a disdain towards people who make new money, whether you're black or not. I think there's this whole idea is that, oh, you're just coming through in this neighborhood we've been living in for years. You're showing me your flashy Ferrari. Next year, you won't be here because you're going to be broke. You know, when there's that whole idea of the disapproving white neighbors.
Shout out to Tobe.
Shout out, fallen hero, got kicked out of Cedar Square. So our only option is to get new money, and I just hope we can keep it.
Yeah.
And make it old money.
Look, I think the onus is also on us to educate ourselves and educate one another. And that starts at the home. It starts in our communities, in our families. It starts in school as well. Because my mom is a EMS teacher and stuff, EMS and what's the other one? Business studies. And you know, I see what the curriculum is all about, and I see what she has to teach the kids, and I'm just like, there's other things that you should actually be teaching these kids. You know, don't undermine them saying that, oh no, they're only in grade 9 or grade 8. These kids are woke.
Children are smart, man.
These kids are woke and alive. If you teach them something and you're persistent at it, they will begin to understand exactly what needs to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, black people, let's build this guaps, this money, and we'll build our people too. And yeah, just work at being the best version of yourself, I think.
Amen to that.
Is all that it's about. So yeah, we out here crushing stereotypes, talking about whether black people are lazy or not.
Nope.
I don't think so. We just cool. That's our problem. We too cool sometimes, but hey, we still niggas. You know.
Still nigga.
Faux nigga, real nigga, rich nigga, poor nigga, house nigga, feel nigga. Still nigga. Still nigga.
That's the story of OJ by Jay-Z. Still nigga, man, at the end of the day. Yeah, you see, this is the message that he was trying to relay that we were talking about. You know, we're still living that inauthentic life. No matter what you do as a black person, no matter how rich you are, you're still living as an outsider to what the world currently is, you know. We're going to go right into the news. Talk about the interesting stories that have caught our attention over the past week. It's been quite a wild week, actually. Here we go.
Ultra, mean ass Playboy in trouble again. Playboy Penny, at it again. Read about it. Extra, place grab young Fallon. Extra, extra. Read all about it. Life story of Playboy Penny. Extra, extra.
All right. Just to go into it from the topic that we've been discussing, the first thing that I want to talk about is the rise of white supremacy in the United States of America. It's been so deep, my boy. It's been so deep. We saw Charlottesville. There was a protest in Charlottesville.
Isn't that where Pringle is?
I'm not sure.
No, I think he's just in Charlotte.
Yeah.
But hey, Pringle, watch out.
Anyway, we saw that somebody ran over some anti-white supremacy protesters. And it was quite intense, man. I don't know if you guys saw the video, but where are these white supremacists just popping out of the cracks from?
Hey, they're not popping out of the cracks. They've always been there. Only now they got the kahunas to stand up.
Because their president is with them.
Every single step of the way. Yeah. Cease.
Yeah, so the protest was on Saturday, and it was against the removal of a Confederate icon statue. The statue was of General Robert Lee. These guys are following our wave now. We got rid of statues long time ago. Come on, America, keep up.
Hey, what when was doing? That? Which year was that even?
Long ago,
our pastors were even getting dueled and stuff.
Yeah. So it was all about the statue. But yeah, I think it's rightful that we all take down these monuments. You know, it's ridiculous that we celebrate bullshit. You know, I don't care how great the advancements of this person were or how great he was in the war. It's rooted in evil. So continuing to celebrate that is just ridiculous. But yeah, anyway, some people got hit. A lot of people injured, 39 apparently. Somebody even died. No, it was so deep. The driver of the car is a 20-year-old James Alex Fields. He was arrested, at least.
That sounds like a trust fund name.
Yeah. We just have to expose them. And they also had torchlight fucking ceremony. These guys are serious, my boy. They're really serious. But anyway, that's what's happening in Charlottesville. If you thought racism was dead, it's alive.
I've been seeing Trevor Noah taking it easy out in the streets, touring around South Africa. How are you touring in your own country, first of all? But you're not touring. I know you ain't touring. But like, he's just trying to wait it out. It's too hot in
America. Yeah, exactly. Now, let me go back to SA where the Guptas are there. You know, I know it's rough with the Gupta and the state capture, but at least I know I won't be getting burnt on a stake by some guys in a pointy white hat.
Gosh.
Yeah, speaking of Trevor, you went to go see his show, no?
Yo.
How was that?
Electrifying.
Yeah.
History in the making for comedy in South Africa. Only more room for more talent to be brewed. Like, I love what the artists locally are doing. I absolutely love it. Opening gates, opening doors.
Yeah, we're shooting, man. We're shooting straight for the stars.
Hey, and we're shooting to kill. There's one thing we got from Big Tell.
Yeah, shoot to kill.
We shooting to kill.
Yeah, man. But if you're gonna go for the king, you better make sure you don't miss.
Hey.
So that's what our vision.
Missing though? That's gone to that level. Who out of the artists who has shot and missed?
Nah, no one. Exactly. We out here killing. That's what I'm saying. We learned from you, Becky Cele. Shout out. All right, okay, more news. I think this is hilarious, personally. So, Grace Mugabe beats people. She's currently wanted by the courts. She beat up a lady called Gabriella Engels. She was abused by Grace at a Center City hotel. She's a model. And Gabriella wants Grace to face her day in court. I just find it strange that, you know, Grace Mugabe is like a heavyweight boxer, Conor McGregor out here. She's fucking people up left, right, and center. Because this is not the first incident of abuse by Grace. But yeah, she's beating up people. And she's still in South Africa because she has to face her day in court. It was supposed to be yesterday, but she didn't pitch. So she's MIA, but apparently she's still in South Africa. And Mugabe is on his way. He's coming to protect his wife on some knife. My wife wants to beat, let her beat.
But like, I don't know why she has to come all the way to South Africa to come do her nyos.
Her nyos, yeah, she must keep like, that shit in Zoom.
That's so unnecessary. I want to beat up a South African.
Go beat up your husband.
Hey,
God damn it. Anyway.
Get your priorities in order.
yeah, that's the greatest Mugabe story. Also, more touching subject, closer to home, Marikana. This is the Marikana anniversary. It's been 5 years and there's still no justice, man. There's still no justice. The people on the minor side have felt repercussions. You know, one was even arrested for murder, but there's been no justice on the side of police. No police have been brought to book or brought to court. So we're still wondering where that justice is 5 years later. I don't know if we're ever going to get it, but this is still very serious. Although, conditions at Marikana have improved. The salaries did go up because they were fighting. They were getting less than 6,000 around the time this happened in 2012. And yeah, man, that 6,000 for to do those kind of jobs, living under the earth. Excuse me. You know, it's really hot. It's really, really dangerous. And their families to provide for. So,
and the working conditions. Let's not even touch on that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay, well, cool. So it's really more about the fact that even though the wages have gone up, there still hasn't been justice. Police over and over again have been getting away with murder, literally. From apartheid, we go to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission and be like, oh no, it's fine, you know, they admitted they were just following orders. You know, same thing with Marikana. Oh no, they were just following orders. Stop fucking following orders if they're not legitimate, man. If they don't make sense to your mind, fucking grow up and make a decision for yourself, firstly. And secondly, if those decisions are found out to be wrong in the end, people must be brought to book.
You know what people need to start doing more and more of? Putting yourself in other people's shoes. If those policemen were on the other side,
yeah,
I could tell you right now they'd rather burn those guns than even think about cocking that gun.
Yeah, no, man, they really haven't done anything of value in terms of justice for Marikana. So we're still waiting. 5 years later, conditions have apparently improved, but yeah, we still need justice, man. We need to. If there's any justice in the world.
Eish.
All right. And also, what else has been happening? Oh, okay. Gwere Mantashe announced on Tuesday that disciplinary action would be taken against at least three of the party's MPs, the ANC that is, who owned up to voting in support of a no motion of confidence, no confidence in Zuma. So they voted that is true. And now they're in trouble. The ANC has got them. It's like, yeah, we're going to catch you. They admitted to it, which I don't know why they would do. But even besides, I think Zuma would be able to find out who the people were who didn't vote for him, no matter what. He'd know. You know, he's the head of intelligence. Well, he was. So he has means and ways of finding out. But anyway, these niggas are in trouble. They're in trouble. So yeah, it's unconstitutional. You know, for me, we're abandoning democracy now. We can really. I know we've always known this is more of a dictatorship, but you know, when you control the inside as well, you know, to such a large extent, it becomes hard for us on the outside to do anything about it.
True.
Anyway. That's what's happening with the ANC and the Zuma story. We don't really like talking about that nigga too much because he's trash. Let's go to, Max Maponyane. There's been a crazy resurgence of violence against women in South Africa. South African men, I don't know what is wrong with us. But yeah, this is a real problem. Max Maponyane, and he's only facing a 3,000 rand fine or 6 months in prison for this abuse, which is nothing. 6,000, what is 6,000 rand to Max Moponyane? He chows that dinner at Tasha's now with his wife.
It's a salary of a Marikana miner. That's what it is.
Ooh, deep,
so
deep,
that's
deep.
The cost of slapping a woman.
It's a salary.
Now you know.
Yeah. Bars. Yeah, man. I'm really upset about this just because I hate this idea of how violent South African men are towards their women. You know, what is it about us? Is it just us? Because it seems very South Africa specific, especially in terms of the extent of the violence, you know, the stabbing a woman 19 times and shit like that, you know. But yeah, that's Max Mponyane's story. I saw Maps tweet something about it because I was wondering, I was like, oh, what does Maps have to say? And he has to say something, and he's like, the hardest thing is when somebody you really love and care about disappoints you. Which I guess, you know, what else can he say? Shame, poor Oak. But not poor Max. He must suffer. Because we don't tolerate that. Mm. We don't tolerate that. Anyway, that's the news. That's what's been happening over the last week. That's caught our attention. We're still following this Dacha a couple case, hoping that we get a good turnout. Because, I mean, it's about time this shit just get legalized.
We're going to make it to the peak. I'm telling you. We're going to make it to the peak of Everest. And when we do, we're going to smoke a joint in celebration. That's what we're
going to do. Shout out. Yeah, but shout out to the Dacha couple for doing this for us, man. Brave. All right. So we got a new addition to the show just before we end off. We are giving out some advice to the people out there in the streets. So I want y'all to just listen up because we might be the worst guys, but we genuinely do give the best advice. Right? Don't you think so, my boy?
Always.
We've got something for you guys.
Worst right? guys with the best advice. Hey, what's up, fellas?
You know, how you doing?
You know, it's your nigga, Graham.
Yo,
yeah,
Graham.
Yeah, man, like, I'm a G. I'm a real ass G.
Okay.
I ain't even gonna lie, I'm a motherfucking player. I'm even the worst guy, you know what I'm saying? Shit. Nah, play. Check it out. Yo. I got a situation, man. A bit of a dilemma, you know
Talk
what I'm
to
saying?
Us.
Nelly versus Nelly. Nigga, please.
This guy is a worst guy.
Hey. So, my girl, you know, she kind of stressed out about this other woman that I'm seeing, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why, because, I mean, a player got to do what a player got to do. I mean, like, for sure, we's going to get it, nigga, you know. But anyway, I'm just trying to figure out, man. You know, I broke up with her, you know what I'm saying? I told her not to worry about that other girl, but she was stressing me the whole time about this other woman on the side, you know what I'm saying? So I got to leave the woman, you know what I'm saying? I cut my losses.
So now
I'm trying to find out from playing. How long do I have to wait before I get with the girl that I told her not to worry about? But please holler at me right now with the worst advice.
She was Graham.
What a conundrum there, Graham.
Yo, you are really a worst guy. Like we busy living it out here in our everyday life, but yo, you taking it to your relationship even.
So what is the worst advice? How long should this guy wait?
How long should you wait before you get it on with the girl that you told your ex not to worry about? Well, technically speaking, if you're alone and you're single, hey, you know, you can renew a new contract anytime you want.
The next day. If I leave MTN, I must not join Vodacom the next day.
There's no 24-hour waiting period.
Yeah.
We're not like ladies, 90-day waiting room. No.
Nah, be getting there, Graham. Get in. Be the worst.
No, trust, Graham. Do your thing.
That's the worst advice for this week. Catch us next week for another question from another fan who's gonna tell us about his crazy stories. You know, we're the worst guys. We just want to give you our perspective on things. You know, maybe you need our advice. Anyway, it's been so dope hanging out and chatting with you guys. I hope you really enjoyed the podcast. Please do subscribe to our show on the CliffCentral.com page. You'll find us, we're on Wednesdays at 2, and you can go directly to the page and subscribe, and you'll get the podcast hot off the press.
Also, go on to, if you have an iPhone, if you're an Apple user, if you go on to podcasts on your phone, right, just search for The Worst Guys. You'll see us there. We're the only ones that's the most litmus on there. Just subscribe.
Yeah.
The rest is already done for you.
Aware. It's been a pleasure and a treat as always. And we're going to wrap up with a Worst Guy cypher.
Oh, yeah.
As we always do.
Oh, I see. You like this Jay-Z thing that's going on. Hey, man, still nigga.
He talks for the niggas, my boy. He's out here representing the blacks.
Okay. Let's bounce it back and forth. Okay. Why the people say that blacks are lazy? Ain't that so crazy? I'm just trying to be brave. I'm not trying to be shady.
Maybe cause I'm smoking weed and chilling, getting real hazy. Maybe cause my mind is so faded. I am so fazy.
We so behind. We're running out of fucking time. When we gonna reach the top? When will this time stop?
I don't know when we'll stop, but I know I'll never drop. Cause I'm just so strong, I could never ever flop.
It's all about the new money, not about the old money. We don't have no inheritance. Ain't that shit funny?
Oh man, it's so sad. We coming from the back, but everybody loves a comeback. We are winners, man.
Let me tell you what I'ma do for my one and two replicas. I'm talking about when my babies come through. Hey, I'm gonna make sure that they live in the life that they're supposed to be living, even if it means I gotta be killing.
Hey man, we struggle. Hey man, we hustle. We out in the streets and we on a gun. Gonna bustle, we always gonna tussle. I don't give a fuck about Russell. I'm tryna get the money for Bongani.
We are stars, we are shining so bright, even in the night, even in the daylight. If you're looking for us,
I am the man, and you don't understand. But just listen to the plan, change the world. That's the plan.
We gonna change the world, we gonna change the planet. Hey, the worst guys, we from Mars and we just fucking landed.
We are out of this world, man. Just ask your girl, cause her toes always curl when I'm up there with her, bro.
When I'm in the room, I play the worst guy cipher. And you must see when I'm boning, look at her toes, they curl.
Oh, she's a hoe, you better know that, bro. But I throw her away because I'm that guy, yo.
Hey, snap out of that mentality, get back to reality. Snap out of that mentality, get back to reality. Snap out of that mentality, get back to reality. Snap out of that mentality. Get back to reality.
I don't know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets the people going.
Worst. We out. Never forget.
Wake up.
Have a good one.
This is CliffCentral.com.